As the Spirit woos us and speaks to us, remember, we're in Acts chapter 26, and you had King Agrippa, and here he was with Festus, and Paul was all alone here. He was a spectacle to the world in that day. You had all the fanfare there. You had the leaders of the government. You had people just sitting around watching this man, giving a testimony. And Paul was excited. Oh, I hope Thanksgiving was exciting for you all. I hope that you were able to give a testimony or share the love and kind of warm up and snuggle up to one another and say, hey, I'll tell you about Jesus here. You know, you never know who you're going to rub off on. And so here was Paul, and he just told it like it was. He didn't hold anything back. And remember, King Agrippa was like, well, at a more convenient time, he was saying, hey, I don't have time for this, you know. I got to get going. You know, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You know, you get people like that today. I really don't have time to, you know, it sounded pretty good, but no, I don't need that. And then you had Festus. He's like, what? They're going to think I'm crazy too. Remember, he looked at Paul and says, are you mad? Are you out of your mind? What are you talking about? You know, things like that don't happen in the real world. Well, guess what? Paul was not of this world. We're not of this world today. We are just sojourners. We're passing through. We have the holidays. One lady told me not long ago, she goes, these holidays go by so quick, I don't even, you know, look at them as holidays. They're just part of time passing by. But I grab the opportunity, I use it, so I can reach those for Christ. And so, time, we got to make the best use of our time. It's very important because we are given that time to what? Redeem. For the days are evil. So we need to make the best of it. Many of us here are getting older and we're saying to ourselves, I am going to do the best I can. Remember, Moses was in his 80s. Remember, there were Joshua hit his 80s. And you have many patriarchs that were in their 80s that were still on fire for the Lord. And we still have those here today. Still on fire. Yep. So you had Paul. It was time for him to go. Remember, Festus and King Agrippa were leaving the stadium or the place where they met, or many people met. And they were like, you know what? This guy is innocent. We know he's innocent. We can't prove anything. It's interesting that you had people that were under the jurisdiction of Rome thought that he was innocent, but you had the religious people. Oh, no. You get religious people today when I witness to them, bring up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. I'm Assemblies of God. I'm from this church or that church. You know, I don't particularly care for that pastor or reverend or whatever, doctor or whoever you want to call yourself. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just sharing the gospel. What difference does this make? But why do people get upset when you tell them about the gospel? Because they don't want to hear it. They're like, well, you know, hey, I've gone to church for years. And they'll look at you and say, my church gets me to heaven, or communion gets me to heaven, my good works, and say, you know, it's sad because there's a lot of people like that today, and we have the younger generation. Where are they at right now? The schools, the public schools, are teaching them, indoctrinating them with this woke philosophy, with the CRT. And, you know, these kids are being indoctrinated. They are being indoctrinated in these classrooms. Because most kids, they spend most of their time in school. Thank God opened the door for me to share the gospel. You know, just pray for me. Because I am determined. It's taken a year. And, of course, everybody praying, God's given me an opportunity. But just pray that I use it right, and the Lord will give me wisdom, and I'll have the wits to say it like it is, because once I get started, I won't stop. But I want to make sure that I'm Spirit-driven, not me. So Paul did everything he could. It was time to go. He left. He was in Caesarea. He was now going to go aboard ship. And sometimes God takes us in journeys of life. Every day is a journey, isn't it? We go different places, do different things, meet different people, hear different things that we thought weren't going to happen, but they happened. So in verse 1 it says, and when he was determined they should sail to Italy, delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So in other words, you had 276 people all together on this ship, which was the size of this church. Okay, and believe it or not, the ship was, and I'll get to the measurements here, 36 feet wide, and the ship was 140 feet long, and, you know, it was a big ship, but, you know, that's a lot of people on one ship. So it was time to go. It was time to go to Rome. Paul was having his prayers answered. Remember, previously here in Acts 23:11, the Lord appeared to Paul, and guess what, Paul? You're going to Rome, regardless or not. Remember, during this voyage, an angel appears to Paul as well. Says, you know, not, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. I want to encourage you today as you're going along life's journey. And whether it be in a boat or it be in a car or be at home, wherever you're at, sitting here. So here he was with a centurion. It's interesting, God used a lot of centurions in Paul's times from Rome to help Paul along. And actually, remember, one saved his life in Jerusalem and had took him to the fort there before he was pulled apart by protesters. And they entered into the ship of Adrianium. We, it's interesting, now you have Paul and you have Luke. When you have the pronoun we, that means the author who wrote this book, physician Luke, he was now included with this. He launched a meeting to sail by the coast of Asia, and Artiscius, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. Now, Artiscius, he was actually mentioned in Acts 19 in Ephesus. So you had three of them now, three brothers in Christ going on a journey, and you have now they are going along. And it says here, and the next day we touched in Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go into the friends to refresh himself. It's interesting that even when we have enemies in life or people don't like us, at least sometimes, not all the time, sometimes they will be at peace with us. So Paul was given the liberty while he was out in the ship to refresh himself. So he goes from Caesarea, he goes to Sidon, which is north where Syria is, and then he travels for where Turkey is, if you can picture this, which we know that we have a good picture in our mind. And he travels up through near Greece, and then he travels down, okay? So as it gives you an idea where we're going with the ship, okay? And so he was able to refresh himself. Verse 4, and it says, and when he had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. You have to understand at this time that it was very important to sail during the spring and summer months. I learned this also in the sea out there in Alaska. There was a time when you sailed and there was a time you didn't. And what happened was is that during the time of September to November, you were taking a chance to sail because of the winds, because of the nautical terms. You had different winds come through there, and they would change. In the wintertime, to make a long story short, you didn't want to sail at all. But now Paul was sailing at the worst time. That's my point. And sometimes in life, we have to trust God will get us through the storm. But you know what? Sometimes it's better just to wait upon the Lord. And don't take that risk. Sometimes it's not worth taking risks. Life is full of risks. We have to ask God for wisdom when to take that risk. And so there he was. The winds could be contrary. And one other thing, too, I remember in Alaska, they called them Willow winds. And they would come up to 60, 70 mile an hour through the mountain passes, through the Aleutian chain. And I remember driving my truck through there while I was working and pastoring, and I remember the wind came, and literally, I was on two wheels. I crossed the bridge between a mountain pass, and the winds came through so strongly. That's what these ships had to go through. These winds would come out of nowhere and would knock these ships off course, and so we would have to be careful. And anyway, moving right along here, it says verse 5, and when he had sailed over to the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, the city of Lycidia. Verse 6, and there was a certain centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. So it was they went from one ship to another. In other words, grain ships would come up from Egypt, because that's where most of the grain was grown. And they would bring ships up along that way on the inside of the Mediterranean, away from the out in the uttermost part of the Mediterranean, because they would get in trouble. A lot of these winds would blow these ships off course. So there he was, trusting the Lord. You had verse 7. Let's go on from here. And by the way, it was not the best designed ship for this course, but sometimes in life you have to take what you can get. Okay? Take the best thing you can get. So, and when they had sailed slowly many days, it's scarce, they came over against Sidius, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over against Salome. In verse 8, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called Fair Havens, nigh unto was the city of Lycia. Now, Fair Havens, you have to understand, was located under Crete, and it was a small town. These people had been sailing for a while, went to different cities, got a new ship, and Fair Haven was a small town. Now, when you have a sailors, and you have the owner of the ship, and you have the captain, like my dad was a bay pilot, he would have been the captain at the time, the person who would steer these ships through the sea, you know, you would listen to what they tell you, especially the bay pilot, because the pilot would tell you, you know, yes, go here, or no, don't go there, because he knew the ship and the seas. And I think my dad would look at that and say, yeah, they should have stayed in Fair Haven, and they didn't. Because they looked at another town not far, much far away, in verse 9. And now when there was much time was spent with sailing was dangerous because of the fast winds was now already past, and Paul admonished them. Now what they wanted to do was go to the next town. They looked at Fair Haven and they were saying to themselves, the world doesn't look good there. Unfortunately, we have people today that look at the world and they're willing to take a chance. Well, you had Paul, who had been shipwrecked 3 times, who had already been through this, say, you don't really want to go any further because it was going to get bad. The winds are going to get bad. It's better to stay in New Haven. But, you know, the world is like that today, too. Things look better. It was deceptively calm. You know, the saying goes, it's calm before the storm. Things look good. Well, that's how the world is. It will trick you. It will lie to you. And so Paul is like, oh, no, you really don't want to go. And they're saying, if we go to Phoenix, the next town over, which is only 40 miles away, it'd take us a couple hours. Why not? It's like Gilligan's Island, you know? They were going to go for a 3-hour tour. And remember what happened? They were stuck on the island there for years or whatever. But it's all because they thought everything was going to be okay. And we need to have our armor on today. We need to watch out. Be aware. Be sober. In other words, the idea of be awake and be in prayer. Because the enemy's like, oh boy, you had a really nice Thanksgiving. Things went well. Well, guess what? I got more trials to give you and tribulations. Well, guess what? God's in control of that. God's not going to allow anything to us that, you know, he won't get us out of. So there you go. You have they decide they were going to do it. Even the centurion, he was in command of everything because he had all these prisoners, 276 of them. Tell you that later on in Acts. And you had the centurion guard, which was about 100 men. You have a ship like the size of this church, and you had the grain, and you had everything else that was with it. And it's not a very good idea. When we make plans, we make good choices, right? Even when things go rough, we have a plan B and plan C, right? And Paul's like, don't even go there. I'm telling you. Trouble, warning, red flag. So there he was. And then verse 9, he says, and then much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was now already past, and Paul admonished them. In other words, he says in verse 10, and he said unto them, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and with much damage, not only of the landing in the ship, but also of our lives. In other words, he's saying, I'm warning you, don't do this. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. In other words, why did the captain and the pilot decide to listen to the centurion and not to Paul? Well, very simple, because he was trying to have a nice time out too. He looked at Fair Havens. That's a small change here. I want to go something that is big, that's more worldly, that can give me what I want, you know. And sailors thought like that. Bad move. Paul's like, you don't want to do it. And so, and because of the haven was not commendious to the winter inn, and part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain there to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and to the north. Okay? So, the problem was here, ships would blow off course, they go down the Mediterranean toward northern Africa, and you would have sandbars there. And sailors would not like to hit those because you would go shipwrecked. You go amok amongst all that sand and you get stuck. So they're like, we really don't want to go there. Paul's warning them. Sometimes we try to warn people and they're hard-headed. They don't want to listen. You're like, don't do it. And sometimes you got to let people sail that course in life so they learn for themselves. And I'm sure we've all been there and done that. But God has a way of bringing us back. And then so it says here, verse 14, says, but not long after there arose against a tempestuous wind. That means a bad storm called a aerocyclone. So these were bad winds that came like they had in Alaska. Bad storms. Remember the Ellen Fitzgerald, I remember that, in the Great Lakes. We have the Great Lakes. Remember that song about the Ellen Fitzgerald? And the story of how it was out there and a great storm came and just swallowed that ship up. I remember people I knew in Alaska, fishermen, and that's what they were. The ground, the people that were the salt of the sea. And they went out with their ship one day, their fishing boat, and they never came back. They never came back. And I remember it was so difficult. One of the ladies of our church, she was in tears, and she said, Pastor, I don't know what to say. And I said, only if I had the words. You don't have words to say. Just be there for them. Be there for them. When somebody loses somebody, be there for them. Be support anything you can. And when death happens, there are no words. There are no words. So Paul was saying, we don't want to lose life here. And so there are bad storms. Verse 15 says, and when the ship was caught and they could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. So in other words, now they were caught in a bad storm. They didn't have a GPS. They didn't have a radio. They didn't have the Coast Guard to help them. They were all out there by themselves. And Paul, I'm sure he was just there shaking his head with Luke and the one other there. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name again. But they're just like, oh my goodness, you know, I wish people would listen. We see people in life today that are lost and going to hell. And yes, we are going to go through trials and tribulations. Oh yes, Jesus even mentioned that. And throughout the Word of God, patriarchs, people who love the Lord, been through so many trials. But yet the unsaved, they don't know Christ. Oh, it must be horrible. It really must be horrible. And I could tell you some stories of people who were unsaved in Phoenix in a hospital. I'll never forget a guy saying they had two rooms, one against one another. And this one lady was dying of cancer, and he said, Pastor, I want you to come to this room, give her her last rites. She was just on death's door, but she knew Christ. And I was sitting next to the husband, and I said, how's it going? He goes, oh, man. He goes, it's really rough. He goes, last night, I've been here all night with my wife, and I'll be with her. And I said, oh, you're a good man, a good man. And he says, you know, next door, there's a lady dying of cancer too, and there were screams and crying. And he says, I've never heard anything so horrible. He goes, I don't think those people knew Christ. They had a priest come in and give the last rites, but one lady was actually screaming. And I was like, oh my gosh, hell is a horrible place. It just gives me goosebumps, makes my hair stand on end. You know, usually when that happens, I get angry because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fight back whatever this is causing the fear. We need to have the fear of God in us today more than anything else. We need the fear of God. But you know, more than anything else, people are so scared of other things, but they're not scared of God. They don't have God in their life. It says even demons tremble at the mention. That means they're actually shaking like this because they know hell is just around the corner. And they don't want to go there. They'd rather go in a herd of pigs. But, okay, the wind is there. The storm's there. They could call on their gods if they want to. There are different gods that they would call upon, but apparently nothing happened. And it says here, verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. In other words, they had to think quickly. Because if you have sails up like that, when you get these high winds, it will break the stern right off. It will take the sails, if you leave sails up like this, and you all know about things that happen at sea, it could capsize the boat. So you take the sails down, and you start unloading the boat because it's heavy, because the storms are coming, the water starts coming in, the bow starts to break apart. So they had to get rid of the grain. So right away there was a loss there. The guy who owned the ship, he was out of pocket. And then you had, you know, they had to get rid of the gear. That had to go. Okay, all the lines and everything else and so on and so forth. And, you know, you had everything there but their lives to spare. And it says here, verse 16, running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, and which was made to work to come by the boat, which verse 17, when they had taken up and used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands and strike the sail, and so were driven. In other words, they had to get some cables and look at the bottom of the boat and tie it together so it would not break apart. And so not only that, but they were hoping, oh, we don't run into any of these sandbars out there. So they had no idea where they were. They were out there for 2 weeks. They couldn't even tell if it was night. At night, they couldn't even tell where the stars are, where the moon was. In other words, if you've ever been in a situation where you lost time, you look around, you're like, I don't even know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. You ever lose your mind like that? They were lost. There are some people today are so busy that they're lost. They have no idea where they're at. And so, but God does. God knows what's going on. So we have here, So they had to take some quick preparations here. Verse 18, we were exceedingly tossed with the tempest. The next day, we lightened the ship. Verse 19, the third day, we cast out our own hands in tackling of the ship. Can you imagine, this is the third day, here they were. And then almost gave up hope. It says here, verse 20, and when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that was should have saved us be given away. In other words, they lost hope. You ever met somebody who's lost hope? That is a very sad situation. And you're just sitting there with them, and they're just gone mentally. They're not there. They've given up. And what happens after that? It's called depression. And Satan uses that as one tool in his toolbox that he loves to use, is cause people to get depressed. And has the idea of life's problems coming to you. And there's no way for you to get above the water, so to speak, and to think clearly with the horizon of life ahead of you. And there are a lot of people that are sinking further and further in depths of sin, and they're lost. They have no anchor. They have no life rope. They have nothing to hold on to. And a lot of people are sinking further and further in the depths of life. And no, a house, good education, lots of money, lots of cars, lots of friends, that doesn't get you to heaven. But yet people are deceived because they think, oh, I'll be all right. I got through this before. You know, I'm strong. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I can get through this on my own help. I don't need anybody else's help. They deceive themselves. There are a lot of them out there. Oh, don't kid. We're not kidding ourselves here today. So they're giving up. They called upon their gods. Nothing happened. So after a long absence, Paul's stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosened from Crete. Now, Paul's standing up in the midst of the storm, and you'd think there'd be mutiny here on the ship, you know. Are you kidding me, Paul? You already told us once in Fair Haven not to go. Now you're standing up there again. I told you so. It's never late to tell somebody I told you so. Never too late. No matter if you get people that will mock you, make fun of you, make faces at you, show all the wrong outward signs, you're still there because you love them. You know what love does? It penetrates. It gives no heed to the foolishness of man's quims. It just shares. And love doesn't expect anything back from you. And I said this a few weeks ago. Don't expect the world to give anything back to you. You know that. The world is a very hard, cruel place. And the world hates you because it hated the Lord first. It's going to hate us second. So just remember, love, go with love. Paul had to have that, the power of the Spirit. And then he says here, I love what he says. He says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, for I have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now he's saying, look, there are six things here. Six things I want to share with you. I'm using Paul's sermon. I'm actually copying off of Paul's sermon here, if you think about it. Now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life. Okay, be of good cheer. That's number one. Be encouraged. How many of you us here have lost everything we've ever had at one time? Just lost it all. How many of you are here almost lost their lives? Okay? You know, we could go home to our homes and it could be burnt down right now. We could lose everything. Our government is talking about that cryptocurrency, which was in the news this past week. England's prime minister, all the heads of G7 summit, talking about the One World Bank. They want to do away with the money. They want to have it all go to a chip. And you know what? The government can come in with the IRS and say, you know, you're done. All that money, like they did with the prime minister in Canada. Guess what? With those truckers, money's gone. They never got the money back. Remember that? They were protesting. They never got a dime back. And you know what? We could go home and we could even have a loved one missing. That would make anybody be like, "You're what?" You know, we have to be prepared. And Paul's saying, Paul's always looking for the good. Always look for the good in life. And you know what? Paul was always looking for the beauty in everything. Well, thank God. You know what? We still have our lives. And I'm sure the captain was like practically in tears. The pilot was like confused. And the centurion was like, "Oh my goodness, what did I do?" And all because of that town that looks so good over there. It looks so good. And the world lies to us all the time. It looks better over here on this side of the fence when it never was. And Paul's saying, being good of cheer, number one. Number two, shall be no loss of any man's life. Hey, you still got your life. You can always rebuild. You still have your life. You still have your loved ones, or you have your family, or you have people that you love. You thank God for that. So it was encouraging. And then we see, then Paul says, they're the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. Verse 23. He says, an angel of the Lord came to me who I serve. Listen, do we serve a risen Savior? You know, we have the joy in our heart. Do we have that song in our heart? What about that song we heard before I came up here this morning? We have that joy. We have Christ. We have our lives to give to the Lord. Saying this, verse 34, saying, fear not. Hey, I fear the Lord. But you know what? The rest of the world, there is a respectful, let me hear about this. There's a respectful kind of fear that you have in this world today. I respect nature because I would not want to go out there camping like one lady did in the news, and her husband went out there camping in Arizona, right? And she was started getting frostbite. They weren't clothed properly. And he was like, oh my goodness, you know, she was in dire straits. He had to leave her and go get help. And you know what happened? When he came back, she was dead. She was dead. Why? Because they weren't prepared. God wants us to be prepared. But it says here, saying, fear not, Paul, thou hast brought me before Caesar. And so Paul is going to continue. The next praise is that, you know what? Oh, you're still going to go see Caesar. No matter what, Paul, things look really bad for you. And we see next, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So Paul was going to go anyway. So he had all these blessings. He was sharing this with all the people. And we got to do that, don't we, every day. If you get anything out of this sermon, look at verses 23 and 24. So you have that going on. And Paul's saying, hey, be of good cheer, people. Here they were, cold and hungry. Guess what? They hadn't had anything to eat in 2 weeks. Hypothermia was setting in. You know, cold, wet. For I believe God that it should be even as it was told me. Closing out verse 26. How about we must be cast upon a certain island? And Malato is the name of the island. It's amazing to look at the map. That would have taken about 1,000 miles trip to get out there. And the Bible never says, it does say it took about a year. But, you know, when people lose time and it took them 2 weeks where they were expecting only, a couple hour journey. Sometimes I'm closing with this. When we get out of God's will, okay, and we're in a journey in life and a storm hits us, we got to make sure that we stay in God's will. It's so important. Brothers and sisters, let me close with this. If you get anything, be careful that we stick in God's will. Don't let the storms of life throw us off course. If anything, the devil wants us to do is to stop. You get discouraged. You know, not listen to people that are trying to help us, give us wisdom. Because that's all it takes is one bad choice. And we could just ruin years of work that we've had because of one bad choice. One bad decision when we should have listened to God. Say, and I have to say that because, and I'm saying that in love to one another because we all need that. You know, we've been through so much. We don't want to get off course. We need to keep it together. We need to work together. And I'm very thankful for the church. Very thankful for what you're all doing. And I'm very thankful for other churches, too. And I think about this one teacher that I know and at school, and he's doing everything he can to bring kids to Christ. But there's a right way and a wrong way. And so he looked at me and he says, Pastor Davis, you've done this before, so you know what you're doing. I said, it takes time, takes a lot of prayer. We got to do this real carefully, real carefully. And we got to make sure, and I said, don't forget this. I said, make sure the Lord's leading us one day at a time. He'll bring it to pass. I believe God's going to do some wonderful things. I really do. But I know too, and we know this too, that the enemy's going to fight. The enemy's going to give it everything they have because they want these kids to be damned. And we want them to be saved. So let's go in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, we know our life is a journey. And we know we're sojourners right now. And we know, Lord, there are people who we meet that mean well. And there are other people who we meet that don't mean well. Lord, we need to keep our eyes focused on you. We need to think about, like what Paul had said, in verses 23 and 24. Lord, to look at all the good things that have come about. To be thankful. To know, Lord, that one day, too, that we will be in heaven before the throne of grace, just giving praise, worship, and honor, and glory. And, Lord, we need to do that now here on earth as we're living as pilgrims. It is a progress. It will take time. But, Lord, help us to encourage one another because we know you have the victory. And we thank you so much for people's prayers for us. And we know that you have a work for us. Help us continue to be diligent and steadfast and encourage one another for your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we thank you for this. And last word, those who don't know Christ as their Savior, there is room at the cross. Lord, pray that you work in minds and hearts, that people will realize they need a Savior. Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.